Griffin. He's back. He's looking. He's being chased. He throws it high in the air, and it is intercepted! Intercepted 8 yards deep! Coming up with it is Brandon Boykin!
Hey, man, it feels so good to win at home for a change, man, going into this bye week. Bow, bow, we out of here. We win it.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to the NovaCare Complex in our Xfinity studio. I'm Dave Spadaro on this wonderful Monday afternoon here in South Philadelphia. The Eagles, after that thriller down in South Philly, beating the Washington Redskins 24-16. We're going to look back at the game, look ahead, and really just enjoy the moment. The Eagles are 6-5, winners of three consecutive games, in first place in the NFC East, heading into a very welcome bye week. We take a look at the box score from the win on Sunday. The Eagles racing out to a 24-0 lead and then holding on until the very end. Brandon Boykin's interception on Robert Griffin III's ill-advised throw into the end zone. Some pressure from Fletcher Cox, and the Eagles come away with a season sweep of the Redskins, their third consecutive win, and you see it, 6-0. And 5-0. So much to talk to this show today. We will hear from Chip Kelly. He'll be on about 1 o'clock. We will hear from the fans who I know are jacked up about an Eagles team that heads into December right where we knew they would be, in first place in the NFC East. Let's get you caught up first things first. The day's headlines the day after with Bo Wolf.
Thanks, Dave, and let's get to those headlines. A day after the Eagles took out the Washington Redskins at Lincoln Financial Field 24-16, snapping the 10-game home losing streak, but more importantly, getting to first place in the NFC East at 6-5, alone atop the division as they head into the bye. And this game was really about both sides of the ball and special teams as well, but the defense standing tall in the red zone once again. They've allowed only 2 touchdowns versus 12 trips in the red zone. And of course, yesterday the game sealed on Brandon Boykin's interception of Robert Griffin III in the end zone after the Eagles had raced ahead to a 24-0 lead. The Redskins fought back and the defense stood tough again. They continued to improve. Trent Cole with 2 sacks yesterday, Connor Barwin with a sack and a forced fumble, and Fletcher Cox playing perhaps his best game as an Eagle yesterday. The defense has not allowed a team to get more than 21 points over the last 7 games. No other team in the NFL can say that. And then on the offensive side of the ball, LeSean McCoy, 20 carries for 77 yards. He continues to lead the league in rushing. He even topped 1,000 yards yesterday. That is something the offensive line takes great pride in. And then we're not even talking about Nick Foles tops 100 yards quarterback rating, 100 quarterback rating, that is, once again. 17 of 26 for 298 yards, no passing touchdowns, 2 touchdowns, stopped at the 1-yard line, but he did have 1 rushing touchdown. He continues to be great for this Eagles team as they head into the bye. A much-needed week of rest here in Week 12. The Eagles will be in on Monday and Tuesday before having the rest of the week off. Comes at a good time for players like Jason Peters, Michael Kendricks, and Bradley Fletcher as they look to get back to health for this final 5-game stretch as the Eagles hope to be marching towards the playoffs.
Thank you very much, Bo. It was an exciting day at Lincoln Financial Field as the Eagles win their first home game, do I need to say it, since September of 2012. Some players reacting to the win. You saw how excited Brandon Boykin was coming off the field after he iced it with his end zone interception. How about some other players? They took to Twitter and expressed a lot, and I mean a lot, of joy at this win. It was not an easy win for the Philadelphia Eagles. And yeah, Boykin, you're right. Brandon, you're right. It was for the fans. The fans were great all day, and they certainly deserved it, and they got it. Zach Ertz. All right, Zach. He's only been here for 1 year. He hasn't felt the pain that we felt, but thank you anyway. Benny Logan had a terrific game, and it was a really physical game with the Redskins. I do think the Redskins showed a lot of heart coming back in the fourth quarter. And then Najee Good, how about him? His dad's in the stands, John Good, who played for the Eagles back in the 80s. And Najee, in his first NFL start, has a couple of passes knocked down, a quarterback sack. very aggressive at the line of scrimmage. Outstanding job for Najee Good. Now the fans, well, we know how the fans felt, and we'll hear from some of you in just a bit, but the fans, after holding their breath in the fourth quarter, doing whatever rituals you do, felt pretty good, doesn't it, to be in first place? Yes, it does. And so there you see the fans expressing their opinions. Nick Folian Dynamite. Can it stick? Well, we've tried that, you know, with the cartoons. Well, we're going to talk about Nick because how can you not? The kids come in here and been just terrific with this team. How about this feeling after the game, the way it all worked? Well, we're going to talk about the offense in just a bit. I had my little spud cam walking around the spud cam, and we're going to get to that as well. But, you know, when you win a game, you feel it. And you kind of get the sense that it means a lot to players and it means a lot to coaches. And when we went to the locker room afterward, and knowing the players know they're not playing next week, so they can really kind of just relax, you felt a great sense of joy.
I mean, anytime you win, it's awesome. But I thought our crowd was fantastic today. It was, you know, they probably deserved it as much as anybody. You know, they were into it the entire game, and it was an awesome feeling. So there was a lot of energy in that stadium, and we needed every ounce of it. So it was awesome.
It's the first time I won at home for probably, you know, some long time, some months. But feels great. The energy was great today. You know, the crowd came with it. You know, so at the end of the day, that's all that matters. We said we was going to do something different, and we got a win at home today, so feeling pretty good about that.
It feels good to get the monkey off our back and, you know, get a win for the fans.
What did you think of the fans today?
They brought a lot of energy. I know, you know, first and second half, on third downs, it was probably the loudest it's been, you know, here in a while, and I think it really helped us.
You know, it's outstanding, you know. Hopefully for me, I'll never have anything close to that as long as I'm in Philadelphia, and, you know, that's brutal. And the fans, obviously, did an outstanding job today, especially in that last drive when we really needed it. And, you know, it was great for us to pull that out for them.
Yeah, I mean, that was big for us as a team, but great for the city. You know, we need to enjoy one of these wins at home.
It was a really great day at Lincoln Financial Field. Eagles returned to action on December 1st against Arizona. And last night, when I last spoke to you, there were all sorts of rumors circulating that that game might get flexed to an evening game. Not the case. That game remains at 1 o'clock, Eagles-Cardinals. But December 8th against the Lions in South Philadelphia, keep your eyes on that when the league will make a decision next week. That game could get moved to primetime, so we'll see. In the meantime, the Eagles reporting to work. Those who need rehab today, the team practices tomorrow, so we'll have Eagles Live for you tomorrow as well at noon, as well as the coordinator press conferences. And everybody, this is the kind of chance to everybody relax. It's been a grind here. I mean, it's fun, it's great, it's energetic, but it is a long season, and everybody's going to enjoy this week. Now, took my spud cam around before the game and wanted to see some of the sights, and there are some nice sights and the sounds of Lincoln Financial Field on an absolutely beautiful game day afternoon. Return to Eagles Live. We're going to talk about the offense first. An offense and a defense, really the special teams. Everybody chipping into that victory over the Washington Redskins. First up, it's the offense in focus. We take your phone calls a little later on. Chip Kelly at 1 o'clock. Let's enjoy this. Eagles in first place in the NFC East, and we return on Eagles Live in just a moment.
Here you go.
Spicy.
You mean her? No, it's the spicy smoked sausage sandwich, honey. See?
It better be.
Grab the new spicy smoked sausage breakfast sandwich. It's the smoked sausage you crave, now spicy. America runs on Dunkin'.
At Sports Authority, we have all the name brands you love, like Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, and The North Face. We carry fitness equipment, camping, bikes, baseball, and more. We offer a rewards program, The League, which earns you 5% back. And we'll match prices with our ad price match promise. So why do we do it? Because we love sports just as much as you do. All the best brands, all the best value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
Make sure to have the Eagles with you wherever you go by downloading our official Eagles app, which provides news, notes, features, and all of our live shows.
This holiday season, my good friend gave to me 7 Powerball tickets, 6 match fix chances, 5 cash buys, 4 big fours, retailing numbers, 2 Lego Millions.
Happy holidays, Rita.
Thanks, Joe.
What a great gift.
Pennsylvania Lottery tickets make great gifts, like the new $20 Merry Millionaire.
Happy holidays.
And best wishes from the lottery.
Today is the first time in a long time we go surfing while well rested. Time for some 6 a.m. Dunkin' coffee. Hashtag my Dunkin'.
Dunkin' coffee, brewed to perfection for the rich, smooth taste you love. Share your story. Hashtag my Dunkin'.
We welcome you back. Dave Spadaro here. Chip Kelly coming up at about 1 o'clock. Between now and then, we're going to rehash the win over the Redskins and hear from you, the Eagles fans, who are so deliriously happy today. The Eagles offense doing a nice job mixing the run and the pass. Some big plays involved yesterday. We take a look at some of the numbers, which admittedly skewed late in the game. The Redskins scoring 2 touchdowns, a couple of 2-point conversions as well. Philadelphia not nearly as effective running the football as in week 1 against the Redskins, but excellent in the red zone and terrific throwing the football, and no turnovers, huge with that plus 2 turnover differential against Washington. All of that making Chip Kelly pretty happy. He speaks about the offense after the win yesterday.
They played us off a little bit, and we're going to let us throw the ball underneath. But then if they're going to do that, we need to convert in those situations. And I thought, you know, that was a big part of what we were doing in the first half. And it's, you know, they gave us some room to kind of get running. And if we get running, then we got to run for the first down instead of throw for the first down. So it was big. You know, that Cooper had a good one. Deshaun running around. Ertzy had a nice run in there. So it was a big part of it. We had a couple screens. Obviously, the one to Brent was outstanding. You know, watching him stick his foot in the ground and then get north and south was awesome. So, you know, I think they all contributed. But I think the run after the catch is big if they're going to play off you. Yeah, we had that first drive, and I thought we did an outstanding job. It was a 13-play deal for a touchdown. And then just really couldn't get it going after that. They did a nice job, you know, forcing us into a couple of things. Couldn't convert on a fourth down. But I'll give them credit. I think they made some plays. They got off a block. Sometimes we had some looks and some one-on-one looks where, you know, it looked like we were going to gain more than we did. But it's a tough game. And fortunately, we got out of here with a victory. But I thought they did a good job from, you know, about the middle of the third quarter on defending us. I guess I don't look at it as individuals. I look at it as a team. What are we doing as a team running? What are we doing as a team throwing? You know, we ran the ball well some weeks and threw the ball well some weeks. I think you're going to get tested. You got to be able to do both. You know, I think Nick was close to 300 today. We're getting a lot of production, but the biggest thing I think we're doing offensively is we're not turning the ball over and we're not putting ourselves in bad situations, and we're continuing to, you know, to win that turnover battle. And when you're plus in the turnover battle, if our defense can continue to create them like they are, and we can continue to be smart and not spit the ball out on our side, whether it be from a fumble or an interception, then you got a shot. So.
And what about the NFL's number 1 rated passer? Yes, Nick Foles, his passer rating leads the NFL. This kid is having quite a season. 16 touchdown passes, 0 interceptions, a 128 quarterback rating. And against the Redskins, the model of efficiency, 17 completions, 26 attempts, 298 yards. No touchdowns, but how about running the football? 9 attempts, 47 yards, and a really nice read option touchdown here. From 4 yards out, just did a terrific job, but Nick, given some time to throw the football, and when it wasn't there, took off and ran and made some big plays, kept the sticks moving, and this is really all you need. This is all. There's the touchdown. It's all you need is the threat of a running quarterback to keep defenses honest. And if he can give you 4, 5, 6, 7 yards, well, that's great. But the way Nick is throwing the football, that's what's so impressive. The game has slowed down for him. This 49-yard completion to LeSean McCoy sets up his 4-yard touchdown run. And Foles, a nice job. The big, the gaudy numbers, no. Not that kind of game. But he moved the football effectively, got the Eagles out to a 24-0 lead. I'm sure would have been preferred to have much more success in the fourth quarter, but Nick Foles pleased after the game with his performance. More important, pleased with the victory.
Just sort of a byproduct of what they were giving me, and they presented it, and I was just trying to get as much as I could and, you know, get down. And I think the big thing I talked to Shea about is, like, I don't know how you run this much, because you do, you know, it's a different game than dropping back, you know, running and trying to get, you know, first downs and stuff. So something I'm continuing to get used to. I'm having fun with running. I'm starting to get used to it. I've never really been a running quarterback, so it's fun to go out there and start running and start getting the feel for it, because it is something different. But I feel like week to week I'm getting more and more comfortable with it. And it's really helping us, you know, get first downs. And before long, they'll really have to account to me and it'll open up. I think the big thing I really, you know, this offseason wanted to work on was decision making and being smart with the football, because you watch a lot of the guys who are the top guys in this league, you know, Peyton, Breeze, Rodgers, you know, some great guys out there that, you know, Brady, that they're really good at decision making. You know, they'll take a shot when they can, but if they have something open short, you know, they're going to take it, and they're smart with the football. And, you know, you don't want to put the football at harm's way, because if the other team gets an interception or a fumble, you know, not only is that, you know, their ball, it's different than a punt. It's a momentum change. And that's something that I really worked on. You know, I didn't do a great job of it in the preseason, but I knew that I'd continue to work on it. It's something that you got to work on every week. And that's preparation. That's understanding the defense that you're seeing and knowing where to go with the football. And sometimes they're going to stop you. Sometimes they're going to get it. They might get a sack. Something's going to happen. But that's the beauty of football, is that's why I love it. There's going to be adversity. You got to overcome it. And, you know, you have fun doing it. It's good to get a win before a bye, that's for sure. You don't want to go into a bye week, you know, losing a game. So we take it one week at a time. You know, it's great to beat the Redskins. We're going to have two work days this week, or however the schedule is going to work out. And, you know, it's later in the season for sure. You know, I think it's at a good time, as long as we approach it the right way and take care of our bodies and get ready for, you know, the last games.
All right, that is Nick Foles. How about the wide receivers? DeSean Jackson, 4 targets, 4 receptions, 82 yards. Again, big plays in a lot of different ways, crossing routes, screens, down the field. DeSean Jackson has become a complete receiver in this, his best NFL season. He's clearly enjoying Chip Kelly's offense. He's enjoying Nick Foles. It's just all working. And it was an excited and very well-dressed DeSean Jackson after Sunday's 24-16 win over the Washington Redskins.
You know, honestly, it's not necessarily what I'm doing. It's, you know, the positions and the play calling and, you know, things I'm able to come out there and do to help my team, you know, be successful. So, regardless of my stats, you know, I'm definitely happy about that. But at the end of the day, a win is more, you know, to be happy about. So as long as we're able to just continue to go out there with, you know, individual stats being successful and things like that, and us for us to be able to go win, that's, you know, what we think about. And, you know, we've been in some crucial games this year. Today was another one. They did a great job of, you know, fighting, you know, to the end of the game. So something we have to just keep doing, is playing together for 4 quarters and not giving up. And, you know, I think we did that today. I just really credit, you know, the offensive scheme that's come in. You know, Chip's doing a great job. You know, not only myself, you know, a lot of guys on the team just putting us in positions to go out there and be successful. So, you know, just staying with it. You know, I'm going out there, you know, sometimes, you know, somebody might guard you. Sometimes, you know, a certain defense, you know, might cause you not to get the ball or cause something different. But you just got to keep pounding away at it and doing things we need to do to be able to go out there and put points on the board. Well, I mean, I think the defense there, they turned it around, you know, very, very well. They're doing some great things out there, playing, you know, very competitive against other offenses. So, you know, that's a great thing to have as an offense. You know, is your defense going out there and just competing and doing a good job, stopping, you know, the other offense, you know, making the team punt, things like that. So I think, you know, all together we've, you know, grasped together and started playing great together. Special teams doing a great job as well, too. So, you know, three phases of football, anytime you're able to have all three, you know, linking up to Players One. Sky's the limit for us. We're on the road, we just got to keep it going. Finish the season strong, you know, so we're 6-5, and we got some tough games ahead of us as well, too. So that's the interesting thing about this division right now, and, you know, we're just excited to be at the top of the top. You know, hopefully we can finish strong and you know, get that first seed.
Jackson tied for 11th in the NFL in total receptions. He's got 58 of them, 985 yards. Look at that, 17 yards per catch, 7 touchdowns. Outstanding season. You know, he is, we don't really talk about this much. So I'm going to knock on wood while I do it. Consistent, durable, at practice every day, and will probably benefit as much as anyone from this bye week. Get those legs fresh again. It's been a long 11 weeks, long 11 games to think of DeSean Jackson and this entire team. Getting the bye week right now, really coming down the stretch fresh. Exciting, exciting to see what the Eagles do. Now, LeSean McCoy leads the NFL in rushing, leads the NFL in yards from scrimmage, 20 carries, 77 yards yesterday. Big game receiving, 150 total yards, couple of touchdowns. Once again, LeSean McCoy getting it done as he discusses with the media after the game.
Well, this means it's a lot more yards to get. But just, I think just the whole offense, the offensive line, this whole year has been playing excellent. Giving me lanes, giving me one-on-one opportunities. And they're rolling, and I'm just running behind them. It felt like it just grabbed. And I kind of went down, not even really getting touched. I just felt like it just gave out. You know, the sharp pain, I didn't really know. But I'm good. You know, it wasn't as serious as I thought it was. Yeah, I think it was just like a cramp. It just grabbed really tight. I don't know if it was the way I was cutting or running. It just kind of gave out. You know, but I went back there and did some stretching and different treatment, and I was back. I think that's more for just the fans and the media to really talk about. I mean, each game, we go in there just to win that game. You know, teams might be better down the line or might not be as good, but this week, each opponent, we want to be better than that opponent each week. You know, we don't really worry about the losing record at home. We use the same mindset as an away game as we do in the whole game, as a home game. So we don't really let that kind of thing get to us. Well, I think just the way he's playing, I mean, he's throwing touchdowns, he's running his offense with no interceptions. There's a small thing, just guys maybe be lined up wrong, getting them aligned the right way. Knowing big drives that we need, you know, he's converting. Sometimes where we might need a pass to back the guys up or to make it a balanced offense, he's hitting them. So I think the little things that makes Nick Foles such a good quarterback. And he's still young. So much room for him to get better. The way we're all playing together, offense, special teams, defense, we're all playing as one. I think sometimes late or early in the year it was more maybe the offense was playing good and defense wasn't, or the defense was playing good and the offense wasn't. We're clicking. We're getting the turnovers and we're answering. We're not turning the ball over for the defense. We're not putting them in the jam. The small things that makes a team.
Now look at LeSean McCoy before the game. Now this is Lincoln Financial Field, obviously. And he's not happy when somebody's got that Redskins, you know, rip it down. That's the way to do it. That's what you do, LeSean McCoy. That's the NFC East rival right there on the ground. Everybody was so fired up for the game. LeSean McCoy over 1,000 yards rushing for the season, averaging 4.7 yards per carry, 5 rushing touchdowns. Big numbers again in the receptions world. And I think if the Eagles wanted to use him more as a pass receiver, he would be outstanding. As it is, he's outstanding doing what he wants to do. Nice route against Ryan Kerrigan here. The wheel route gets the Eagles offense going on its second possession. Down to the 4-yard line. 2 plays later, it's Nick Foles. But LeSean making people miss. Good tackle there from Brandon Merriweather. And near the end zone, give it to 25. He will find a way to put it in the end zone. Yesterday's top performers offensively, Nick Foles, LeSean McCoy, DeSean Jackson. Let's go into the Eagles locker room now and hear what Jason Kelce, leading the way, has to say about the offense.
You know, I think on offense you always have to be calm. You know, there's times where, yeah, you need intensity, but you can't let the intensity and emotions overtake, you know, your thought process, because offense is much more of a cerebral part. You have to be on top of it. You're working with other guys. If you're off kilter for just a little bit, that's when things usually go wrong. So we're doing a much better job of playing in sync and rhythm, 11 guys working together. So I don't know that Nick has been the one that solidified that. I think it's just been kind of a culmination of the way the season's gone.
Doesn't mean nothing. We're trying to get better and do what we do. It's a long season. You can look at it and say, oh, first place. It's not like that. That's just not the reality of it. You got to get better and better each week in order to win this league. We're getting better. We're getting better, and hopefully we can capitalize on some things that we did bad late in the game today and, get rid of miscues so we can be fully, prepared and ready as the season goes along.
I feel like now, the last few games, I feel like we're doing all the little things right, and that's what you got to do to win games. The little things like that four minute drive we had at Green Bay. We took 9 minutes and 32 seconds off the clock. I mean, championship teams do things like that. So we're doing little things right now, and it's clicking and it's working. So there's still a lot of work to do, but we're playing good as a group right now.
I mean, we take a lot of pride in that. Anytime you got a running back and he's leading the league in rushing, you just got to set the bar high, and every week you got to reach that challenge. So you just got to come in every week and try to get him more yards and more yards and make sure he stay on top.
I mean, that's kind of how diverse he is, though. I mean, he can bounce it, he can cut it back, and I mean, that's what he's good at. So he's been doing a great job, and we got five more games left, so hope to finish strong.
All righty, when we return to Eagles Live, we're talking defense and then Chip Kelly, as well as your phone calls. Dave Spadaro here. We're coming right back in just a moment.
Back in the day, I busted up some plays, but you'll never find me in busted coverage because I have auto insurance from AAA. AAA gives this safety blanket coverage and saves me my favorite color, green. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
SEPTA is the way to get to games.
I love taking the subway down there because I feel like I'm, with all fans.
Everybody's got their gear on.
People are chanting and cheering on the train before you even get to the station.
There's a sense of camaraderie because Philly loves their sports teams.
It's really fun. It's Philadelphia.
The lead over the middle.
Dude is huge.
That's you, Jones.
That's me.
Your home for the most live sports, Xfinity.
When I was a little kid, I thought riding SEPTA was just the coolest thing. I thought, I'm on this big piece of metal blazing down these tracks. There's people ringing bells above me. There's honking going on. There's trees flying by. It's fantastic.
These days, you can find me on the road, at the movies, shopping, or traveling, and I do it all with AAA. For roadside assistance, discounts, and travel planning, AAA has you covered. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
Chip Kelly speaks to the media at 1 p.m. Stay tuned for that. And also, if you're not already doing this, follow us on @EaglesShows on Twitter. We'll keep you up to date on everything. We are live all the time here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com on our app. And we know that you're jazzed up about this football team. You want to stay connected. Follow us on @EaglesShows. Chip Kelly and this Eagles defense has really bounced back, sticking with Bill Davis and the scheme that he's put together and all of the times he said, hey, we're getting better. We're getting better. Trust me. Well, you better trust Bill Davis. Did a nice job yesterday against an outstanding Washington offense. They run the football so well. Robert Griffin III, that dual threat quarterback. Look at the first four games, the last seven games. The key number in the last seven games is this. The Eagles have not allowed more than 20 points in any of the last seven games. It's just remarkable how the quarterback rating has dropped. The takeaways have gone up. Completion percentage dropped. Touchdowns per game. Just a tremendous job of improving up front in the secondary, having it all come together. Chip Kelly talking defense after last night's win.
I think there's a little bit of sense of calm. I think Billy does a great job with his coaches. It's just, what's it down a distance? What are we going to do? What's the next call? And let's continue to play. And, as long as they don't score, and that's the ultimate goal right there. You can't be reactionary and say, oh, what happened here? What happened here? It's just, we talk about it all the time. Just play the next snap, play the next snap. We got great pressure on him on the last play, and force him to throw it up, and Boyk made a play, and we'll take it. Obviously, when you only have 46 guys up on game day, and in how physical a game this is that your depth is going to get tested. And, you know, when guys like Najee and Rock and all the guys that stepped up and played, you know, because we had some starters down, it's comforting, I think, as a coach to know you got some guys that you can plug in when, you know, when Michael Kendricks is an outstanding football player, with Mike being out, you know, to have Najee and have the production you have, to see what Benny and those guys are doing up front, I think it's encouraging. And I know we're going to get tested a little bit more. We got, you know, to play 11 straight weeks like we did, you know, now the bye's coming up. But, you know, we got to head into December and see what happens here. I've learned that they compete. I learned that they stick together as a group. I learned that they really care about each other. I think they hold each other accountable. They show up to practice every single day, wanting to get better. Makes our job as coaches that much easier. It's a great group to be around. Really, really excited about going to work every day when you get a chance to work with guys like that. We did a really good job in coverage for the most part during the day. You know, at the end, it's, you know, you're off a little bit because you don't want to give one up over the top. But I think we generated pressure. Extremely hard guy to get pressure on because he's just so nifty in the pocket that, you know, maybe if it was some of the other guys we played, we would have had more sacks. But I think we really generated some pressure against them and forced them, you know, to maybe not set his feet as he wanted to throw the ball. And then they got an outstanding rushing attack. But I think by and large, we did a good job of defending the run. So to be a good football team, you can't flinch. And I don't think these guys did. I mean, obviously, Redskins are extremely talented and they got some weapons on the offensive side of the ball. And to play as well as we played defensively for the entire game, you know, to watch them finish it off that way was really encouraging. In this game, you know, crap's going to hit the fan. It's just how you react to it. And I think our guys did a great job from that standpoint.
All right, where does this defense rank? Well, the yards still down to the bottom. Passing yards still down there. Improved against the run. Third down percentage, so-so. Red zone defense has been outstanding. Just two of the last 12 trips to the red zone have resulted in touchdowns for the Eagles' opponents. And that has allowed the Eagles to move up to sixth in the NFL in red zone percentage. And you know, guys, we've talked about this for years. Eagles offense, back in the day, moving up and down the field, get to the red zone, turnovers, mistakes, field goals, Eagles losses. Well, that's what this Eagles defense is doing, and the Eagles are winning football games. The turnover margin, outstanding, on the way up. Eagles trending in all the right directions. Bill Davis, pretty pleased with the progress his group has made.
To be honest, I was looking at the rush to see what rush. I was letting my eyes go all over the place. I went to the coverage. It looked like we had solid coverage. And then when the ball went up, I was trying to find a receiver. And then Boyk looked like he was the only guy that had a shot at it. So it was a relief that he caught that one. It was good. The guys played hard. And, you know, we would have liked to finish that fourth quarter better, you know, play the fourth quarter better. But we won the game. And at the end of the day, that's all that counts. Again, in the NFL, there's going to be, you have to play four solid quarters. Four, not three, but four. And they're always going to have the momentum swings, and we just have to, you know, our guys stepped up and were mature about it. Nobody ever really panicked. They were making some plays at the end, and we had to step up and make a play, and the guys did. We had some nice pressure at the end with a four-man rush, and then Brandon stepped up and made a great play. I know everybody tracks Trent's progress by sacks and really all the D-linemen, but it's not how we track it. And we know that all season Trent has had that consistent pressure and put stress on the quarterback and the tackles that he's going against. So it's nice to see him get rewarded with the final sacks. But that's not how we've judged him all along. And this game doesn't change how we look at Trent just because two sacks were up there. But, no, we're very happy with Trent.
The Eagles had a difficult challenge on Sunday. They have Alfred Morris. They have to defend a great running attack. And they've got a quarterback on the Washington side named Robert Griffin III. He presents a unique challenge. And in this feature, Beneath the Surface, presented by Microsoft Surface, the official tablet of the NFL, Jeremiah Trotter breaks down the Eagles' defensive task against RG3.
All right, guys, let's look at the defense. Now, right here, the Redskins is running the typical zone running play to the right side here. The whole line is trying to zone scheme. They're trying to get the defensive line to move and move the line of scrimmage at the same time. But if you take a look at this guy here, Fletcher Cox and Trent Cole, they do a great job of maintaining the line of scrimmage, staying on their block, and also looking in the backfield. I'm going to clear this. Let's run it a little bit. Pause it right there. If you see these guys, they're standing up their blockers here, with their eyes inside at the running back. And once the running back commits to a hole, they come off and make the play. This is a great job by those two guys and the safety coming from the outside. Great job on the zone running play, which is one of the best runs that the Redskins have. Eagles defense did a great job all day.
All right, thank you very much, the Axeman there. Now, the Eagles defensively, it came from all corners. Eagles playing pretty darn well for 3.5 quarters, and then it got a little dicey. But then the big play at the end, of course. Connor Barwin, terrific job once again from him. Trent Cole, 3 tackles, 2 sacks, 3 tackles for loss. He's now got 3 sacks in the last 2 games. And Fletcher Cox, maybe his best game of the season, perhaps of his career, dominating up front against the run, had the big fumble recovery on the sack from Barwin. Outstanding job by the Eagles front seven. We go into the locker room now. Connor Barwin leads the way. The Eagles' reaction defensively after the win over Washington.
You know, going to the bye week, I think it was huge for us to get a win at home going to the bye week. So we'll come back a little bit healthier and ready to make a run. I think Billy does a nice job calling the game. And then I think we just, you know, trust in each other. And then we play hard. You know, if you get 11 guys playing hard, doing their job, that's how you play good defense. And I think that's what we preach every single day, every game. We've been seeing results.
The ball's in the air. It was really slow. I was like, I couldn't. A lot of thoughts went through my head. When I got it, I was trying to make sure my feet were in bounds. So I looked down, and I was good. I heard everybody cheering, so it was good.
Just all around great game. I mean, it's how we played the game. And we played together, you know, play as a team. And, you know, we got after it. You know, it's just, you know, sacks will come. They're going to come. And, you know, I just want to make sure that we do our job. And just, you know, playing 3-4 defense, you have to do your job. You know, everybody did their job. You know, we'll get off the field.
It's all about finishing. Mm-hmm. We thought that we'll shut them out, but you know, things happen. You know, that, like I said, they made a few plays in the second half that, you know, that they shouldn't have made. Yeah. I mean, we always talk about it. You know, big plays happen. You know, let's go to the next play. Let's not lull on that play, and then let another big play happen. So that's how we, you know, as a defense and as an organization, to look at things.
I just think that. We've gotten better in communication. I think we've gotten better in our responsibilities and our gaps, understanding, you know, everyone's placement on the field. I think we've been able to play well together thus far, and the communication has been outstanding. And I think we just have to continue with that and continue to press towards the mark. We never want to get complacent. We never want to get to the point where, you know, we feel like we could take a breath and relax, because any given Sunday, you know, you can go out there and we can win a game.
It definitely feels good, you know, as a defense to go out and perform the way we're performing, and just to see guys continue to get better. So we're just looking at, you know, overall as a defense, you know, how far can we take it? And I think sky's the limit for our defense. And we keep playing the way we're playing, we can do big things.
Nice job by the defense, and we certainly can't go without mentioning special teams. Donnie Jones, absolutely terrific. 50.7 yards gross and net once again. 0 yards on punt returns. Alex Henry, outstanding on kickoffs, made his lone field goal, made his extra points. The Eagles beating the Redskins. Total team effort, 24-16. On the other side, we take some phone calls, so get them ready. 215-339-6709. It's Eagles Live. Chip Kelly coming up shortly. I'm Dave Spadaro. Let's talk Eagles. Eagles fans, I know you're fired up. I want to hear from you now. We're coming right back.
Together, we make the NFL Ticket Exchange the only place to buy and sell verified authentic NFL tickets, which means we make sure your name is on your ticket.
Enjoy the game, Gary.
Guaranteeing the day belongs to you. We make memories guaranteed with your name written all over them. NFL Ticket Exchange. Together, we make football.
One more, let's get it, let's go.
Proven hydration to help replace what you sweat out.
One more championship. Let's go.
There's a new kind of energy company that's not just selling you power, it's giving you power. The power to make saving energy easy. The power to customize your electricity plan with green energy and be rewarded for your loyalty. Even the power to help your home generate its own electricity. Now that's the kind of power we can all use.
NovaCare Rehabilitation is the exclusive provider of physical therapy to the Philadelphia Eagles. With 90 locations in the Delaware Valley, NovaCare maximizes the physical well-being in patients of all ages and abilities. Our team of medical professionals puts you back in your game after surgery or injury. The Eagles choose NovaCare, so can you. Call 1-800-770-NOVA. NovaCare. Recovery starts here.
All right, Dave Spadaro with you here. Let's get to the telephones, 215-339-6709. Starting Fort Lauderdale with Shannon.
Hello, Shannon.
Hey, Dave, what I'm telling you, man, look, Nick Foles, I told you so, three down, four to go.
I know, and for those of you not aware of this, Shannon predicted that the Eagles would win their last seven games of the season.
There you go.
And if that happens, Shannon, you are promised a spot in the co-hosting chair.
That's right. And now, I mean, doesn't like Bill Davis look like a genius now and Chip Kelly look a genius now?
Making progress. Let's not count our chickens here. Long way to go. You know, and thanks for the call, Shannon. It's actually
one game at a time. All
you
right.
Got it, brother. It's actually a pretty tough schedule the rest of the way. We will take a look at the Eagles' upcoming schedule. Presented by NFL Ticket Exchange, powered by Ticketmaster, for the only 100% verified way to buy or sell NFL tickets. Visit NFL.com/ticket exchange. The Cardinals, a winning record. The Lions, a winning record. Struggling Minnesota Vikings team. Chicago, a winning record. And the Dallas Cowboys, right at 5-5. Yeah, tough one. I think the Eagles are going to be this team's in great shape right now. Just in great shape down the stretch. Marcel in Atlanta joins us. Hey, Marcel.
Hey, Dave. How you doing?
Doing great.
All right. It's a beautiful day.
Yes.
You know, the day after a win is always a beautiful day.
Indeed.
But I want to say that in regards to, you know, Nick Foles and the job that he's done, he definitely showed me yesterday that he doesn't have to throw seven touchdowns in order to get it done. And
yep.
He doesn't have to necessarily, every other throw doesn't have to be 60 or 70 yards.
Right.
So I really like what I saw. And so what Nick Foles essentially has done for me is he's allowed me to say, look, you should be the starter throughout the rest of the season, and I'm not worried about that. So now I can pay attention to other aspects of this team, such as the defense,
yeah,
the secondary, and so forth and so forth.
Yeah.
I mean, we can make that final decision later on.
Well, there's no right final. Now, nothing's ever final, Marcel.
Correct. You're right. You're absolutely right, Dave. You're absolutely right. I love the position that we're in. And so as far as, like, in terms of the rest going the rest of the way, this bye couldn't have come at a better time. You know, guys who needed to get healthy will have that time to get healthy, especially at this late in the season. And also, you know, a word of caution to the rest of the Eagles Nation out there, you know, like Dr. Maya Angelou said, don't pick it up so you never have to put it down. We're 6-5, yeah, but we still got a ways to go.
Absolutely.
And I don't want, like what happened in the first game of the season. After that, we were the toast of the town. And then we went on that, you know, things happened the way they did. And so, you know, people got their hopes up and then got upset. And we look like what we're supposed to look like.
All right, Marcel, good. Thank you. I got it. Good stuff. I know exactly what you're saying. And this team's taking it 1 week at a time. And guess what? There's no time to feel too good about yourselves, but right now the Eagles can, because they've got a bye week, and the players deserve to have the time down mentally and physically. They will come in tomorrow. They'll stretch out all the kinks and get loose, and Chip will lay out the game plan for the rest of the week, and then they'll disengage, and they'll come back refreshed. I don't worry about any loss of continuity, anything like that. I think that this team is ready for the bye week. Let's go to Las Vegas and talk to Jimmy. Hey, Jimmy the Geek, what's up?
Hey, Dave, what a win. What a win. You know, nationally, they switched over.
Yes, I know that.
24-0. Kill me. So I'm on the internet listening to Merle, but that's a delay. So it's absolutely exhausting trying to follow this team from out here and outside of Philadelphia.
Did they go back? Did they go back to the game at the end, Jimmy?
No. They stayed with Pittsburgh and those crazy uniforms that that they wear. It gave us some insight into watching Detroit play. But what a nail biter trying to follow on the internet, get updates on NFL. It's nuts, man.
Yeah,
it's absolutely crazy.
Well,
I liked how Foles went back to Ertz, though, after Ertz dropped the ball.
Yeah. Over the middle, was a nice throw. Ertz was open, developing. Yeah, I just didn't like the way the offense executed. I didn't particularly like the tempo in the fourth quarter. They've got to get better at that. You've got to execute correctly a fourth down play. It was there for the taking at the 38-yard line. You got to make those plays, Jimmy. You can't let teams back into games.
It's funny listening to some of your colleagues describing you as an expectant father. You're like the rest of us, Dave.
Yeah.
Wringing your hands. Pacing the floor. It's crazy.
Yes.
What a great rush, though, dude.
Yeah, it was great. Thanks for the call. It was a very tense few moments as the Redskins drove from the 4-yard line to the Eagles 18. And I am just like you. We all are here. We're here to have the Eagles win. And so after Brandon Boykin made the interception, we got into our chairs and got ready to go. Zomper giving us a call as we take a look at the NFC standing. Zompy! Nicely done. How you doing today?
Great morning, man. Great morning. Just a round of applause. Billy Davis, I bashed him all year long, baby. And you know what? He deserves it. Defense playing outstanding. That defense won that game yesterday. Foles is gold, baby. Let me tell you, Foles is gold. I just want to say I just love the way Foles, you know, his touches on his passes. You know what I found? That when I was watching the game, I was like, wow, what a great pass. There was two passes that he threw to Deshaun and he threw to Riley Cooper in between, like, three defenders.
Yeah.
That's how you know you have a special quarterback, man. That's accurate. You knew where to throw the ball. I love the fact – I'm actually watching the replay. I DVR it like I always do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm watching – did you see the part when it was fourth and inches? We went for it, I believe, in the third quarter.
Yes.
And you see Chip Kelly, Bryce, 1 yard. I love that, man. I'm pumped up, Dave. Love it, man. I love this team. I miss this feeling, man. I got nothing to say. How about those birds, baby?
Thank you.
Eagles!
Zompy, way to put it in perspective, buddy.
All right,
thank
pal.
You. All right. Your enthusiasm is beyond contagious, and I think everybody feels that. The key phrase there, it's great to have this feeling again. Eagles in first place, a playoff race as December nears. Dave Spadaro with you. Chip Kelly on the other side. We return with some phone calls and the head coach with his day after analysis of the Eagles at 6-5 following their 24-16 win over the Washington Redskins.
Here you go.
Mmm, spicy.
You mean her?
No, it's the spicy smoked sausage sandwich. See?
It better be.
Grab the new spicy smoked sausage breakfast sandwich. It's the smoked sausage you crave, now spicy. America runs on Dunkin'.
At Sports Authority, we have all the name brands you love, like Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, and The North Face. We carry fitness equipment, camping, bikes, baseball, and more. We offer a rewards program, The League, which earns you 5% back. And we'll match prices with our ad price match promise. So why do we do it? Because we love sports just as much as you do. All the best brands, all the best value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
Make sure to have the Eagles with you wherever you go by downloading our official Eagles app, which provides news, notes, features, and all of our live shows.
This holiday season, my good friend gave to me 7 Powerball tickets, 6 Netflix chances, 5 cash buys, 4 big floors, 3 daily numbers, 2 Lego Millions.
Happy holidays, Rita.
Thanks, Joe.
What a great gift.
Pennsylvania Lottery tickets make great gifts, like the new $20 Merry Millionaire.
Happy holidays.
And best wishes from the lottery.
Today is the first time in a long time we go surfing while well rested. Time for some 6 a.m. Dunkin' coffee. Hashtag my Dunkin'.
Dunkin' coffee, brewed to perfection for the rich, smooth taste you love. Share your story. Hashtag my Dunkin'.
Chip Kelly coming up in just a few moments. Until then, we take some phone calls from the fans. 215-339-6709. Burnett in Maryland joins us. Hey, Burnett.
What's going on, Dave? How you doing?
All good, thanks.
Yeah, I remember I called you last week, and this week I'm even more excited than last week. It just constantly keeping things rolling, keeping things going well. I know we were talking about finding somebody that the defense or somebody that offenses fear on our defense, and I love the way Connor Barwin has stepped up. You know, he played a tremendous game yesterday. You know, I'm surrounded by Eagles fans in D.C., and everyone is like, you know, talking about like, you know, he's not that good. Like, no, he balled out yesterday. Balled out.
Yeah, he was. He's been really good all season, Burnett. He's in the right place at the right time. I just don't see many mistakes from Connor Barwin.
Not at all. And I know I looked at the beginning of the season, I looked at the schedule, and now, like, things that I thought are coming to fruition. Last game of the season in Dallas, could that be the showdown for the division?
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, thanks for the call. There's going to be a lot of meaningful games here. And now the question I have with the Redskins, and can they rebound and be a little bit of a spoiler? They've got some games in the division still. The Cowboys, all kinds of beat up. I spent some time looking at the Giants' schedule. Not an easy schedule the rest of the way. So, I mean, the Eagles, they obviously control their own destiny here, and that's what you want to have as December begins. Bye week will allow, hopefully, many of these players to get back. And that guy right there, Trent Cole, if you can get him back in that get-to-the-quarterback mode, we've talked about the one thing that's really separating this Eagles defense from being improving and good to being really good is getting to the quarterback, and Trent Cole did that on Sunday. He's got 3 sacks in the last 2 games. Calvin in Mississippi joins us. Hey, Calvin.
Hey, Dave. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Man, loving the show. Feeling good, man. We're on a roll, man. I like the way everything is looking, man. How about Fletcher Cox, man?
Are you from Yazoo?
Oh, yeah, Yazoo. Oh, yes. You know Calvin from Yazoo at the barbershop.
Oh, right. I haven't heard from you for a while. I miss you.
Just been laying back, looking at things. You know what I'm saying? I like the way things are coming around, man.
Yeah.
I mean, special team, offense, defense, everything is picking up, man.
Fletcher, and thanks for the call, Calvin. Fletcher has been terrific, and he was dominating on Sunday. The numbers are outstanding, and he's making penalties. Beating one-on-one blocking like it's nothing. He's really made great strides. Plays with so much enthusiasm. And almost had that interception, which would have been nice to see on the deflected pass from Najee Good. This whole group of young defensive linemen, the way they've improved, the way they've taken advantage of playing time, really bodes well for the future. If you can have that group continue to get better and have a really dominant front on defense, now we're talking. Ronaldo in New York joins us. Hey, Ronaldo.
Dave, how you doing?
Great. How you doing?
Doing fantastic. That was a great win yesterday.
Yes, it was. Aren't they all?
Yes. Now, I called you last week, and we spoke about bitter and sweet Eagles winning and Eagles losing, and I told you some of the positions I would like to see improved. Mm-hmm. And I said cornerback, and you thought I said quarterback.
Ah.
Now, I love Nick Foles. The guy can play, and I think he should be the quarterback of the future.
Yeah, here's one thing. I have got to just say that I understand why Chip doesn't speak of the future. But he hasn't – I mean, there's no reason even to mention any other quarterback right now. Nick Foles leads the NFL in passer rating. The Eagles have won 3 straight games. There's nobody right now that even works into the conversation. But I do kind of caution – talking about the future. I can't predict it. So I'm just one of those, you know, Ronaldo, after these last couple of years, it was so frustrating and tough, and we all shared it. I'm just enjoying every week right now. I don't really care about 2014. I don't care about the draft in April, or May, rather. I don't care. I just wanted the Eagles to win on December 1st against the Arizona Cardinals, and I love the way a second-year quarterback has made such great strides.
I agree. I got one more question before I hang up, Dave.
Yeah.
It seems like the offense struggles in the second half of games. Why is that?
Well, thanks for the call. I would tell you that that's probably not the case in general. I'd have to look up the actual numbers. In fact, let me do that right now. The Eagles in the second half of games, they've still scored quite a few points here. In fact, they have scored, well, not quite as many. 88 points in the second quarter is their highest number. So they've scored 10 more points in the first half than they have in the second half of games. Green Bay, they played very well in the second half. Tampa Bay, they played well in the second half. The Giants, they obviously played well in the second half. Yesterday, they scored the one touchdown, and they just didn't execute in the fourth quarter. And that's got to get better. I'm with you on that. I'm one who likes to see the tempo high, but there's also times when you got to take some time off the clock. That's the only thing that makes sense. So then it comes down to execution, and the Eagles need to be better for 60 minutes, no question. Yanni in North Carolina joins us. Hey, Yanni.
Dave Spadaro, what about them Eagles, baby?
There we go, Yanni. How you feeling down there?
Man, I'm feeling amazing down here. I was feeling great until they cut the freaking game. Oh, you finally get an Eagles game down on TV.
I heard it all day. I heard it. I'm so sorry, guys.
But you know what's great? The internet, though. I found a site that, you know, you can watch some games with, so it was pretty cool.
Is that right? There's a little, yeah. Shall we say, friendly feed going on out there.
Yeah, you can definitely say that. But I would first like to give credit to Billy Davis, man. Like I said, I think I talked to you a while ago and was like, you know, he said, trust him. The defense is making strides, and, you know, I'm seeing a defense that bends but doesn't particularly break. They're keeping people out of the end zone. I mean, give up two touchdowns to the Washington Redskins, who were coming in really hot, averaging about 30 points a game. I mean, that's great, and I love seeing what Nick Foles is doing. I'm a Michael Vick fan, but, you know, I think we just have to be smart, go with the hot hand. Nick Foles, I mean, that was a great game as far as, you know, in Dallas, that was kind of an aberration. It was a big game. You thought the spotlight was too big, but that was a big game too.
Yeah, I think, and thanks, Johnny, for the call. I think with Nick against Dallas, I think he just had a bad game, and I think we all – as I said at the time, we all just kind of let the fact that it was against Dallas and it was at home and it was just so uncharacteristic of Nick Foles that we maybe people overreacted a bit. But Nick has been the definition of steady. I got to tell you, being through all these young quarterbacks through the years, I think Nick's probably been the most consistent one. More consistent than Donovan, more consistent than Randall. More consistent than any of them in years one and two. So he's played great football. I mean, the guy's leading the NFL in passer rating. And the key thing here is that he has not turned the football over. And if you can make good decisions and throw the ball accurately and get the football out, you are going to win a lot of games. Chip Kelly coming in just a moment here to meet the media. He will update the injuries. The Eagles' schedule this week, Mondays and Tuesdays, they'll be here. Tomorrow we'll have live press conferences from coordinators Pat Shurmur and Bill Davis. And then we'll have Eagles Live. Adam Kaplan joins me at noon. And then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we are going to take some time off. And we're going to all enjoy it and come back ready to go against the Arizona Cardinals. Let's get a quick one. In South Carolina, let's talk to London. Hey, London.
Hey, how you doing, Dave?
Good. How are you?
All right, I really enjoyed the win yesterday.
Yes, sir.
I was most impressed with the way how the offense moved yesterday and the way how they moved, you know what I'm saying, the way how they pushed the tempo yesterday.
Early on, yeah. And I like personally some of the diversity I saw in the play calls. I love the screen game. The Eagles were 4 for 4 for 77 yards in the screen game. They got Celek involved. They have this little wheel route to LeSean McCoy, taking advantage of some coverage that the Redskins threw out there. So they did enough. And in the red zone, when you're 3 of 4, that's going to bode well.
I mean, and Nick Foles was just playing awesome yesterday. And I thought on that screen to Brent Celek, I thought that was a touchdown, but it wasn't. But, you know, I was most impressed, like, with the offensive line and how they were able to open up the running game for LeSean McCoy and let him, you know, kind of control the clock a little bit with running the ball.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, London. Thanks for the call. They did a nice job. It wasn't like it was the first game with LeSean McCoy, 31 carries, 184 yards, but he still had 150 yards of offense from the line of scrimmage, got it done as a receiver, and was a major weapon for the Eagles. Chip Kelly scheduled to meet the media. Do we have time for a call, or shall we throw it out to the tent? One more call. I think we have time. 215-339-6709. But a big one for Chip here. He gets to exhale and enjoy maybe one day off this week, later in the week. He'll work through most of the week here, and they'll do a lot of self-scouting and find out their tendencies. And now we're going to hear from Chip Kelly, Eagles head coach, talking to the media.
Somebody's paper?
Nick Foles, are we really seeing extraordinary quarterbacking, or are we just seeing your offense being run in a competent manner?
No, it's always about the individual, so it doesn't matter what plays are called or scheme is run. You know, they still have to be executed, and I think he is executing them, and that all the credit goes to him. He spends a lot of time. He works extremely hard at it. He's got a really good grasp of what we're doing, and extremely accurate in his throws. And again, doing great job in just making decisions and not putting the ball in harm's way. You know, sometimes you look at some passes. Some guys, you know, they go through the defender's hands and it's not an interception. But you're like, whoa, if he caught that, you know, we had two of those last week against Green Bay. If we just caught the ball, you know, that's two more interceptions for us. But very rarely do you see those situations come up in a game. And I think he's a really, really good decision maker, and it's exciting to see him grow here.
You've always with him, said, whether it's a pump fake on a screen to the other way, or a look off of a hit. Is he as good? Has he always been? Even when you saw him against Arizona, or has he really refined that part of his game?
I didn't study him when he was at Arizona. I was just usually pissed off when we were playing him because he was making plays. But I wasn't. You don't really get a chance to watch him, the intricacies of what he's doing. You know, what are they throwing here? And it's a three-step concept, five-step concept. How quick is he getting the ball out of his hands? Can we rush this protection? That's kind of our thought process when you're going against him. You're not thinking about when you're playing against him, hey, someday I'm going to coach him, because he had already transferred. It wasn't like he was transferring again. So,
well, how about when you first had him in training?
It's like everybody. I think first they learn how you call a play, and then all of a sudden once they got that down, now they, where is everybody? Now you got that down. Now how do we continue to refine it, and now I got my footwork down, so I'm not thinking about it. I'm just reacting, and I'm going from one to two to three. Now, if I want to go to one, maybe I can make them stay on two longer, instead of you going through your progression, is force them in the way you want to go through progression. So I think he's doing a really good job as we continue to grow as a group, where he's continuing to, really the little things are starting to come out, and that's what I think he's starting to see in his game.
But you've always said that he could thrive in your offense, he could run your offense. What is it about the scheme that makes it conducive to someone, disparate quarterbacks like Michael and Nick?
I think it's all about, there's flexibility within what we do in terms of, it's always based on personnel, and I've had different style quarterbacks in my career, and so I think anybody that's any smart at what they're doing is going to cater their offense to what they do. And, I think the best example in this league is John Fox. When he had Tim Tebow, he ran one offense, and they did a hell of a job, and they went to the playoffs. And then he had Peyton Manning, and the offense changed. He didn't ask Peyton Manning to do what Tim Tebow was doing, but he also didn't ask Tim Tebow to do what Peyton Manning did. I think, when you got a group of players, and this is what you got now, let's assess how do we put them in positions where they can make plays and then get out of the way and let him go play. And that's kind of what I've always been that way. If you got a guy who's more of a runner, and I had some of those guys in my career at Oregon, then we feature more quarterback runs. You got someone who's a little bit more of a thrower, then you feature more throws. If you got a guy who can do both, then I think that puts a little bit more stress on the defense. But it always has to be catered to who's pulling the trigger.
You said the offense is generally, when Nick was in there, you said it's generally the same. Are you just saying
it is?
But you're
But I think when Nick takes off, it's not 60 yards, but it's six. And in critical situations, he can still do that. So that's the point I was trying to stress from there, that we're not calling, it's not an entirely different package. But I think in everybody, there's subtleties in there that Nick may like this throw better than Mike likes that throw. But overall, we're still running four verticals. We're still running double post concepts. We're still running a quick game. We're still running our screens. So I think that part's similar.
Last night, Nick said that he is basically learning how to run and that he's having a lot of fun doing it. How has his decision-making been from your standpoint about when to run, when not to run?
I think it's been good. He's missed a few, and he'll admit that. But I think a lot of that's through repetition. You got to really get a feel for how to do it. And a lot of that is also how much do we want to put him in those situations where, if we hand it off and we can get three, then, yeah, we'll live with that. We're good with second and seven. I think it's an experience factor. You get a little bit more comfortable, a little bit better feel of it. You get an understanding of what you can do and what you can't do. So,
the last three games, you guys have done a really good job of limiting opponents' field position to start drives. And that's a product, I guess, of taking care of the ball and punt coverage and kick coverage and so forth. How important when you rank things, obviously giving the other guy a longer field and shorter field is important, but in terms of Bill Davis having some flexibility for what he has to dial up, you know, when the other guy's got a ways to go. And in this last three games, the importance of that field position game.
Yeah, it's huge, and I think the biggest factor that factors into that is, number one, don't turn the ball over offensively, so obviously you give them a lot shorter field. If we don't convert offensively and we're in a situation where we have to punt, then can we pin them deeper? You know, the play by Boykin and pinning the ball inside the five, the unbelievable punt by Donnie in the fourth quarter there, that's huge. And obviously statistics will tell you, you know, the longer the field is to drive, the better chance of success is for the offense. You know, the shorter the field, the better it is for the other way. You know, so I think what we have to do is continue to understand the field position battle. And it takes all phases. It takes the offense not turning the ball over, churning out a couple first downs so we can move the ball out of harm's way. And then if we do have to kick and turn it over, you know, how good is the punt? Where does it go from a directional standpoint? How good's our coverage unit in terms of keeping them pinned down in there? And then when our defense takes the field, it is obviously a little bit easier for a coordinator when you go out and you're defending 90 as opposed to defending 9. So, you know, I think it's really how a team comes together as a group, and it's the offense, it's the defense, and it's the special teams.
Are you someone who believes in momentum, and how do you continue the way you're playing after a prolonged absence?
Do I believe in momentum?
Do you believe, yeah, from 1 week to the next?
Yeah.
You do. So
if we win the next week.
So now you have this disruption in the schedule. Mm-hmm. How do you continue the way you've been playing?
Well, I think this bye occurred exactly when the NFL planned it, because we knew about this when the schedule came out. So we've had a schedule in place knowing that we're going to play 11 games and then we're going to get a break. So everybody in the league has a bye in their thing, so we don't really worry about it. And I think when you start to think about, God, we're really playing well, I wish we didn't have a bye, it's things that we don't control, we don't worry about. So we knew it was coming up, we knew exactly how we were going to handle it. We've had the same schedule in place since we put it together in June, so, you know, so be it. But I think when you come out after a bye and you don't play well, if you blame it on, well, we were on a roll and then we had to take a break, then you're just giving yourself built-in excuses, and that's not what this deal is all about. We don't make excuses. We knew the schedule when we came out. We knew we were going to start the season and play, you know, three games in 11 days, and that's the way it is, and that's the way we roll with it and move on. So I don't really think of it from that standpoint.
You had Mike Vick listed as questionable going into the game. How close was he to playing, and do you think
there's I think Mike probably could have played if we needed him on Sunday, but we weren't going to keep three quarterbacks active.
So be ready, you
know. We're hoping when we come back off the bye that, you know, obviously with this week off, when we get back to next week, that Mike will be up and ready to go. But we'll see. I know he's progressing. So
did the late bye affect the way you prepared for this season? I mean, would it have been any different if you had the bye in week four, week five?
Not really. I mean, in terms of how we practice on a daily basis, no. In terms of what we did, you know, I guess to answer your question, if the bye was earlier, we may practice a little bit more this week. I know with it being in week 11, you know, I think the biggest thing for us right now is just for all of us to get a break, you know. And so those guys are here today just watching film, and they're doing some weight work, and then tomorrow we'll get out in the field and run around for the last time, and then they'll be off. So, you know, maybe if this occurred week two, week three, or sometimes when it's that early bye, I still think there's a lot of football to be practiced at that point in time. So I think that part is a little bit different.
What makes this as good a shape? I mean, guys I talked to yesterday, older guys that, you know, have not experienced a bye this late in the season, feel remarkably good, and they credit a lot of it to your approach to the whole sports science thing. But I mean, are you surprised that these, except for the injuries you've had, that they feel as good as they do at this point?
No, I'm not surprised. I mean, that's part of the plan, and it's a well thought out research plan. It's not just a, hey, let's try this, you know. So but it's a two-way street in terms of they have to buy into it too, and they've done an unbelievable job of buying into it, because we're not with them 24/7, and nor should we be with them 24/7. But we got a bunch of guys that want to be great at what they do, and they understand that not only what they do here during the day, but what they do when they're not here during the day has a great effect on you in terms of your being able to respond physically on Sundays. And I think they've bought into that, and I think that's a credit to those guys.
What's been the key to the red zone defense? Has been very good most of the year.
We obviously, in the last couple of weeks, created a lot of turnovers down there. So I think that's huge. You know, obviously the number one thing is you want to stop. But not only are we getting stops, but we're getting turnovers created down there. And that's been, you know, that's kind of like the icing on the cake. But I think it's, you know, the field obviously gets shorter, and There's not as much room for them to operate, and I think our guys have a pretty good understanding of the plan that's going in. I also think our guys, now that we have a body of work to kind of study film, we got an idea of what people are trying to do down there, and I think our coaches put together a plan, and our players are executing it.
Do you think people have said it's a bend but don't break defense, give up a lot of yards but not a lot of points? Is that kind of a fair classification?
I don't care what they say. You can call it whatever you want.
Are you okay with?
I'm okay with whatever. I'm okay as late. This game's been about, do you score on offense and do you not let them score on defense? And it's always been that. You know, I said it before, and I'm not being facetious. We don't play fantasy football. We play real football. And it's at the end of the day, do you have more points and did you not give up points? And that's what this game's always been about. And you know, the statistical part, I think, you know, you're chewing on things that I don't think you need to be chewing on. You need to stop people from getting the ball in the end zone. And I think we're getting better at that. We can still do a better job of it, and I think we all know that. But and it's the same thing with us when we get down there. You know, we had a field goal down there again. We need to convert. We need to score touchdowns down there. So.
What did Fletcher Cox need to do to get to where he was in the first few weeks of the season to kind of the level he's playing at right now?
I don't know what he needed to do. I just think what you're seeing out of Fletcher is that we're just watching him grow. You know, I still think you forget he's still a really, really young player. You know, everybody on our D-line is a young player. So I think he's getting acclimated. For him, it was he's got a change in systems, a change in coaches, and really starting to grasp and figure out what we're trying to ask him to do. But I think his performance, you know, what he did on Sunday was outstanding. You know, he was a disruptive force in every way, shape, and form. Had an interception, you know, had tackles running around everywhere. And I think he's starting to feel more comfortable in what we're asking him to do. I think our coaches understand better. To putting him in better positions just because they understand him better. I think we're just all getting a lot more familiar with each other, but I thought his performance on Sunday was outstanding.
With the way Nick's playing, is it just ridiculous to even ask about who the starting quarterback is going forward?
After the quarterback.
He's going to start for the bye week, so just so you guys want to know who the starting quarterback is, Nick will be the starter for the bye week.
After the quarterback competition.
They got a Benny question here.
You're playing in the line.
Along the same lines with Fletcher, Benny, I mean, as soon as you started, he had talked about in the beginning of the year how it was tough for him to come off the bench and find the rhythm of the game, but it seems like now he's, you know, you guys are starting him and he's right off the bat involved.
Yeah, but I just think Benny was new to everything, so whether he was coming off the bench or starting the first play of the game, you know, it's all the same. Once you get out there, you start to get into a rhythm, so he's starting to feel more comfortable out there, and you can see it in his play. You know, he's starting to, you know, all of a sudden plays that he was a step away from a couple weeks ago, he's now there. You know, and I saw him, you know, kind of come down the line a couple times and make a big play on the back, and that's really what we're starting to see with all those guys. And it's just, I think everybody's growing as a group, as coaches, and it's encouraging as you head into this bye, you know, to be kind of on an upward momentum, not on a downward swing. So but I don't think it's because he wasn't starting. I just think it's he's getting more snaps overall too. So
after the quarterback competition this summer, you talked to both of the guys and let them know which direction you're going in. Is that something that you'll do again?
Whenever we get two healthy guys that we need to talk to. So
would there ever be? I mean, let's try a different act. Okay. Would there ever be? Would it even be necessary to even name someone? Because
no. When they're both healthy, I'm going to sit down with both of them when they're both healthy.
In college, it seemed most of your bye weeks were followed by Thursday night games, so you didn't have these 2 weeks. But what was your approach then in bye weeks and in bowl games when you had some type of absence?
Well, bowl weeks are definitely different because we played in 4 BCS games, and it all occurred in January. So, you know, I think we had somewhere between 31 and 37 days off, so that's an entirely different animal in its own right. And when we had bye weeks in college, it was more, we used it as improvement weeks. You know, we usually, you know, our guys aren't hightailing out of there and flying across the country and going home and doing all those other things. We gave them the weekend off, but we usually, I think, practice 2 or 3 days during that week, you know, a Tuesday and Thursday, and they were off Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then come back the following Monday to start, so.
Chip, you brought in assistant coaches from a lot of different places, obviously a handful from Eugene, but how have you seen the whole thing kind of come together as the staff, the position coaches, the coordinators, and you, and a lot of guys who didn't know each other, hadn't worked together, and how difficult is it to get that kind of group working together like this?
I think it's difficult if you make it difficult, you know, and one of the things that was very important to me was making sure we had the right fit. And from the right fit, it was from a personality standpoint. I thought it was really important to get a diverse group. I think if you get too many people from the same pool, you all think alike and all act alike, and that may not be the right way. You know, I think it's important to hear from different voices and different people and how people did it differently. But then you also have to have a bunch of guys that can put their egos aside and say, now that we have all these ideas on the table, we all have to kind of come to a conclusion of what's the best one and how are we going to do it. And that's hard, because when you're interviewing guys at this level, I mean, everybody has a background, everybody has a resume, everybody's coached at a lot of different places and is certainly more than qualified. But the biggest thing for me was making sure, and it's not a really a tangible thing, of were they the right fit. And I think that's kind of, I don't know if it goes unnoticed, but it's been a real big plus for us, I think, because the players learn from the coaching staff. And if there's, you know, if your coaching staff's got a bunch of egos on it and they're all acting in different ways, then how can you not expect your players to act the same way? Because they're going to emulate the people that are teaching them. So I think the biggest thing for us was to get a bunch of guys that really didn't have egos, that were very, very intelligent, that were great communicators, and then let's, hey, as a group, collectively, let's figure out a way to get this thing done. And so far, it's been great. We got a bunch of guys that I think they've all made the next person, the person next to them, better. And I think when you can say that every single day, that guy next to me, you know, you don't always have to be the smartest guy in the room, because there's a lot of smart guys in that room. And then, but also to be able to have the ego to say that, hey, that's a good idea, I'm going to listen to it. And at the end of the day, who cares whose idea it is? It's our idea when we walk out of this room. And I think we got a bunch of guys that do that. And I think that's what makes kind of working here a lot of fun every single day.
You mentioned that you don't require them to be here ridiculously late at night, you know, breaking down film. What's your philosophy behind that? Not overworking these guys.
My philosophy is, you have a job, do it. You know, if I have to watch what time you get in the morning and watch what time you go home at night, then I hired the wrong person. You know, and I think you have to empower the people that work for you. I think you have to empower them to do what they were selected to do. And if someone watching over you and making sure they know what time you get in here in the morning and making sure they know what time you left here at night, then I don't think that's what. You know, we're in professional football. If you got to worry about that, then, you know, I've never asked that, and I never did it when I was in college. You know, get your work done, and you got a bunch of guys that love it. You know, you got more guys that you got to tell them to go home than you do to say, hey, be around here. So, you know, if you wake up at 3:55 in the morning, you want to come into work, come into work. You know, but I never have encountered that. I had an unbelievable staff at Oregon that was special, and I've been fortunate here that it's the same exact way. And I got a bunch of guys that just love football, love working, and we get along really well. So.
Was your first year in the NFL, taking over a 4-win team, you know, being first year in the NFL, did you expect more growing pains than you've had, or did you have fewer growing pains than you've had?
I didn't have any preconceived expectations. You know, a lot of it was, you know, every day was kind of like, oh, that was interesting. Didn't know that was going to happen. You know, just kind of take it as it comes. You know, we don't have a set. We have to get to this or get to that. It's do we see improvement? Are we getting better? Do we continually make the same mistakes? You know, things like that I think are for me what you can see from a growth standpoint of, you know, and that's what I don't see. I see our guys, if we make a mistake, we correct it, and then we get better and we improve. And I think that's the mark of an organization that's going in the right direction, you know, and I think that's the positive things that we gain out of. But I didn't have any preconceived notions or numbers or anything like that they were this before, they were that. It was a clean slate with everybody coming in here. Let's move forward as a group and see how we can improve every day.
What's the coaching staff schedule for the pilot? Self-scouting?
Yeah, we got a lot of work to do. You know, we're here through Wednesday, and then they got Thursday and Friday off and Saturday and Sunday. But I'd imagine some guys will still be around Thursday and Friday. But we're done formally meeting on Wednesday.
Yesterday you said you guys are going to be playing meaningful games in December. Was there a time, like maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, you guys just lost those 2 home games, you know, to Dallas and the Giants? And did you think that was possible, that, you know, these games?
Yeah, we always thought it was possible. But it doesn't matter unless you do it, so. But it wasn't, there was never a point this time where we were like, we're not going to play meaningful games in December. It was, you know, and the only reason I'm talking about playing meaningful games in December is our next game is in December. So, and I'm always talking about the next game. So we play December 1st, and it's a pretty meaningful game. So.
Chip. Pico Alonso is off to a really good start in Buffalo. Yeah. What did you expect from him? And you had to manage him through some tough situations. What was that experience like? And, you know, do you take extra pride in a guy who's doing that well?
No, I take extra pride in that I had an opportunity to coach Kiko. He's awesome. You know, and I think everything that people are seeing in Buffalo is what I've always known about him all along, is that extremely dedicated, driven person. both academically and athletically. He was a great student too, over 3.0 student. You know, he made a couple missteps early in his career, and really changed. And I think he understood the opportunities that he has in front of him and everything that's happening to him now. I don't know if it surprises other people. It doesn't surprise me. Kiko's a special player, and I think when you watch him on film, you know, it's Kiko see ball, Kiko tackle ball, and we saw that at Oregon a lot, and I think people in Buffalo are seeing that right now.
Just following up on an earlier question, when you were at Oregon, the offense seemed to go with multiple quarterbacks in there, and then, with Michael, the offense had success, and with Nick, it's had success. So do you consider this system a quarterback-friendly system?
Depends on what game you're asking about.
Generally speaking,
I would say 9 times this year, yes. 2 times this year, no.
Nick Foles, I mean, obviously what you said about, you know, this isn't fantasy football, but the numbers that he's put up.
I was talking about the yardage point.
But especially in terms of like passer rating, how do you interpret that? Because that's some pretty elite company that he's in. He's leading the league right now. He's on record pace.
Big thing for me with our quarterbacks is wins number one, and then interceptions number two, and he's been really good at both of those. So, you know, some of those were attempts, all that other stuff. Because a lot of times a quarterback, the attempts and all that, are dependent on who's calling the plays. You know, he can't throw it where you're not calling it. You know, I think part of that. But when you have a guy who's consistently not putting the ball up for the other team and serving it up, you know, we're plus 10 in the 6 games we won, and I think we're minus 6 or minus 7 or minus 8 in the games we lost. And that's a direct correlation. There's a direct correlation between the turnover game, and that's the biggest thing for me. So I don't really look at the – anything that gets over 100, excuse me. I don't know how you can get like a 132 is better than a – you know, I know the higher the number is, the better, but the biggest thing for us is, obviously, are we winning, and we've won with Nick, and then he's not turning the ball over, and that's huge for us.
Across the board, where is this team going to improve?
What's that?
Across the board, where is this team going?
I'm not being facetious, but across the board, everywhere. I mean, that's the thing, and I think our guys understand that too. I think we left a lot of points on the board the other day. We need to do a better job finishing off the game. We finished off the game in the Tampa Bay game, finished off the game in the Green Bay game, did not finish off the game yesterday. You know, 4-minute offense, which we thought was good the week before, was not very good this past week. We need to do a better job in terms of overall finishing people off, you know, when we have leads, and making sure that even if we do go for it on 4th-and-1 and don't convert in that situation, that when our defense goes on the field, it's not a one-play score. You know, we make them drive the field and kind of work the clock from that standpoint. So we have a whole lot, coaches, players, everybody, that we need to continue to work on. So we're a ways away, but we're in a position where we're a ways away where we can continue to get better, that hopefully it'll pay off for us.
4th-and-1 play was an example of you being aggressive. Do you feel like you got your foot to the pedal when you're up big like that? Or is that kind of, you know, what you're used to at Oregon when you had to do that?
No, I didn't think I mean, number one, we were on the 38-yard line, so we weren't going to kick a field goal in that situation. And I just felt at the time if we could get another first down there, that, you know, that would have been huge for us. You know, I think we had just come off, you know, we had a 13-play drive for a touchdown in the third quarter. So, you know, we had proven we consistently could move the football. And we were just a half a yard short on the pass play to LaShawn. Thought we could go with it real quick and get, you know, try to get one in there. I'll give him credit. Fletcher made a great play and standing Bryce up in the hole, made a tackle, and, you know, we didn't convert. But I think part of that, you know, we got to convert offensively, but we also can't let them go one play and score a touchdown defensively. I think it's a combination of the both. But when I am making decisions like that, a lot of it's dependent on how our defense is playing too, because I'm not afraid to put our defense on the field in that situation.
What about putting guys and teams away? Is that just something that's just going to take time?
Well, if we had got the first down, we may have put them away. So yeah. I know we're trying to do it, you know, but we're not there yet. That's the point about what do we need to improve on. We need to when we have an opportunity to put people away, we got to put them away, and we didn't do that.
Chip Williams said before the season that he thought that the biggest adjustment for a college coach coming to the NFL is the length of the season. But at this point right now, where you've played 11, 12 games, at the college level you're done except for the bowl game, whereas in this league, the hard part's just starting. How do you feel right now? Did you have to take a different approach for a longer season, mentally, emotionally?
No. I mean, I understand what Coach is saying, and there's point to it. But my schedule the day the season was over was a lot worse than my schedule here because, you know, you're planes, trains, and automobiles recruiting from Sunday night till Friday afternoon and hustling back and practicing, you know, getting to practice in Friday afternoon, practice Saturday, practice Sunday, get back on a plane and fly all around the country chasing down recruits. So it wasn't, I think, maybe a misconception is when you're a college coach in the last game is done and then the bowl game comes, you don't have a month off. I would argue my schedule was more hectic from a recruiting standpoint than it was here, you know. So I'm looking forward to being in the office every day and watching tape. That's a fun part of our job.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.
Good birthday.
All right, that is Chip Kelly and a very long and interesting press conference for him. We wrap it up here with that. We're going to call it a day. Thank you for joining us. Have yourselves a great Eagles day. And remember, we're live tomorrow. Coordinator press conferences in the morning. Eagles Live, joined by Adam Kaplan at noon. Thanks for joining us, everyone. Have yourselves a great Eagles day.